10, 15.
Back upfield to the 35, to the 40, 45, 50.
Pass the 50.
35, 40.
Pass the 30.
To the 20.
Inside the 20.
You got to be kidding me.
To the 10.
Whoa! He scores!
He's all the way home.
The Go Bucks!
Oh, my God. Oh, goodness. Holy moly.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
Hello again, everyone. This is the Old College Try. This is your host, Tim Hyland. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mike Unger. Mike, that felt like a real college football Saturday.
It finally arrived, yeah. From the very, very beginning, the fact when the noon kicked off, you had multiple games that you wanted to watch instead of like just one that you were kind of forced to watch. That was great. Having the SEC back obviously changes everything. The Big 12 was playing their first conference games, and there were a lot of thrilling ones there. And, and you had multiple windows with great games, and that's what makes college football Saturday so great.
Well said. No, well said. The Saturday was definitely more entertaining for me than the last two nights suffering through the latest Indians postseason collapse, Mike.
Oh, my goodness. I was a big Tribe fan for this series. I wanted to see them, of course, knock out the Yankees. But right from the very first inning of the first game of game one, the Yankees looked like they were not here to mess around. They absolutely shelled Bieber, who was going to win the Cy Young Award. And then last night's game set a record for the longest nine-inning game, 4 hours and 50 minutes in postseason, longest nine-inning game. And that didn't even include the two rain delays. How late did you make it? I turned it off as code for fell asleep, really, after the Yankees hit that grand slam to take the lead.
That's when I checked out, too, because I knew it was going to happen. Years of suffering through this, Mike. Aaron's cousin, Johnny Fisher, he used to work – he was like the ESPN stats and info guy. And then he used to be on Sunday Night Baseball and was kind of like the bear of Sunday Night Baseball. They called him the fish. They were trying to make it a thing. It didn't quite work out the same way. But now he works for CBS Sports, and he still does a lot of, like, stat stuff on Twitter. And I think he posted last night that it was the first time in Yankees history that they had scored nine runs and given up nine runs in a postseason game.
Oh, wow. Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah,
and of course they won it. Every other team in the goddamn majors, they probably lost.
I really do hate the Yankees, and I will say too, I got a bad feeling in the first game with Bieber's start. Literally, Mike. So I told you guys this during the game. Like, the umpire strike zone was literally the strike zone, and you don't see that very often. Like,
no, you didn't.
The first pitch was right at the top of the strike zone, and I'm like, all right, here we go, strike one. And Bieber, like, clearly thought it was a strike, and I was like, oh, this doesn't feel good. And he couldn't figure it out. Like,
ball one, series over.
that's a Cleveland fan for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, well, it was a great Saturday of college football. Fingers crossed here tomorrow, if things go well, Jack will have his first football game of the season for the Springfield Spartans. Yeah.
Very nice.
So I'm looking forward to that very, very much. I think it's great they're playing. Of course, they're not allowing fans in, so they hired this third-party service to broadcast the games, and I will say it's been pretty good, actually. My daughter Anna had her first high school water polo game on Tuesday, and it was broadcast there, too. I will say, though.
She didn't drown, did she?
What's that?
She didn't drown, did she?
No.
Then it was a great debut.
I will say, with water polo, as a parent trying to watch water polo via a remote broadcast link, once the girls put their caps on, it's impossible to tell who's who, Mike. Like, I had no idea who was who in the pool. Dude, water polo, what a horribly grueling sport. I was like, oh my God, this looks awful. Like,
I'll never forget when I first learned that in water polo, they play in a pool so deep that you can't touch the bottom.
Yeah. And
I was like, oh, at least they can, if you don't want to run around or take some time off, you just stand in the pool. No.
No, you literally can't touch the ground. This kills me. I didn't realize too. So imagine, like, the game starts and, like, you start with, like, a sprint. You're doing a freestyle sprint to go get the ball. One team wins possession. Then you're treading water, and, like, the defenders can basically assault you, right? It's they're all over you, like, pulling on you. Anna said that the swimsuits they have to wear are extremely tight because if they weren't extremely tight, they would grab your suit and pull you under. And then, Mike, when you pass and catch the ball, you're never allowed to put two hands on the ball. It's one hand only.
Yeah, well, if you put two hands on the ball, you'd sink to the bottom of the pool. You need that other hand for survival.
Anyway, water polo is a fascinating sport. I'll be learning a lot about that, I guess. Anyway, it's just fun to have my kids playing sports again. It's fun to have college football back. Mike, how was your college football Saturday?
It was awesome. It was really, again, you said it felt like the first real one. We were down in my new basement bar. It wasn't fully – it's still not fully set up as it will be ultimately with three TVs, but – we had two hooked up, watched a ton of football. There were, I believe, five people over, one of them being noted listener, Brian Slater, who came over for the Georgia-Arkansas game. And it was just a beautiful fall day. Window was open down there, and it was just extraordinary watching football. Definitely solid from about noon to 7 o'clock.
Speaking of your basement, noted listener Joe Borzin did text me last weekend requesting pictures of your basement. He said it was not a competition, by the way.
Oh, well, if it was a competition, I would lose to Joe Borzin. There's no doubt about that. But the plan is to have the TV, one TV mounted by this evening, and then the basement will be in its final state like for this Saturday, and then I'll take a video and share it with everybody.
Did you get your Arsenal scarf yet?
No, but that's coming.
Good, good. All right, my weekend, what did I do? I had only one sporting event and then watched football the rest of the day, so it was a pretty good day, Mike. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, and imagine what it's going to be like when the Big Ten comes back. It's going to be like a second opening Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. All right, weekend review, ready?
Yep.
No, number 2, Alabama 38, Missouri 19. Not much to say here. This score, a little misleading. Alabama never really was not in control of this game, Mike, as we expected.
Yeah, extremely misleading. Very ho-hum win for Alabama. I watched some of it on ESPNU on their rebroadcast, and this was basically a glorified scrimmage.
If you recall, Mike, what was the line in the K-State-Oklahoma game?
Oh, do I recall, Tim? It was my lock of the week. I took Oklahoma 27.5.
And what was it again, Mike?
27.5.
Oh,
that's, boy. I took Oklahoma -4 touchdowns.
And the result was K-State 38, number 3, Oklahoma 35. I don't even know where to begin with this one, Mike.
This was a wild game because I watched the whole game. And for the first half, Oklahoma was comfortably ahead by 2 touchdowns the entire half. But credit to K-State, they just never went away. They have this quarterback, Skylar Thompson, I believe is his name. He's a vet. And he kept driving him down against that suspect Oklahoma defense.
Yeah.
Very, very suspect. And K-State just seems to have confidence against Oklahoma. This is what, the second straight year that they beat him, right?
Right. I guess sometimes it happens sometimes. Teams get teams' numbers.
Yeah.
But I think this, too, was a classic case of Oklahoma had so many chances to put them away and just let them hang around too long. And when you're, like, the big favorite and you let the team hang around, all you do is give them confidence, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. That's a great point. But that's definitely, I would say, we've been doing this podcast for what, 6, 7 years?
I think 10 years, Mike.
Oh, God. 10 years, I've been trying to retire for 8 of those years. That's got to be my worst lock of the week, right? I don't think I probably have had taken any teams -4 touchdowns that lost outright.
Did knowing that it was your lock of the week diminish the joy of watching a fun upset, Mike?
No, because it was such a huge spread that it became, you know, very, very clear in the second half that they were never, ever, ever going to cover. So I still just enjoyed the game.
Very good. Number 4, Georgia 37, Arkansas 10. I didn't get to see a ton of this one. I think you probably did, right?
Yeah, we watched the whole thing. Hugely misleading score, of course. It was 7-5 at halftime. I know it's a laughable and noted listener Brian Slater was none too happy. They made the change at quarterback to Stetson Bennett, the most SEC name you're ever going to hear.
Yeah.
The offense looked better in the second half, but you know, it's just kind of the same old story for Georgia. Like the way their offense looked last year, they had a much better quarterback, but it still wasn't a great offense under Jake Fromm last year. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they play against a much, much, much better defense and overall team in Auburn this week.
Again, I only saw a bit of it. Is Georgia doing anything differently offensively, or are they just stubbornly sticking to the program?
Yeah, they didn't really do any. They didn't do anything of anything of note. They did look. They moved the ball a lot better in the second half, but you're not going to be able to drop back probably and throw it a million times with Stetson Bennett. They're still going to need to rely on their running game, and they just look sluggish. And you, of course, you never know what's going. This is the first game for both teams, of course. Oh, which reminds me of a tweet that I saw.
Yeah.
That I don't know whether the guy was kidding or serious, but I enjoyed it either way. The quote was, "So much for SEC supremacy, 7! SEC teams lost their season openers today. That's the highest mark since the conference's inception in 1932.
Wow.
Which, of course, this is the first time that they've ever opened with all conference games. So by definition, half the teams were going to lose. I found that one very enjoyable.
That was very funny. Number 5, Florida 51, Ole Miss 35. An interesting game. I think Ole Miss hung around a little bit. I will say this, Mike, fantastic optics here.
Oh, beautiful. There's a lot of chatter about the new shade of the Rebels jerseys. I kind of like them.
Yeah.
But what a very fun game to watch. Lane Kiffin, you can that offense is going to be very, very exciting, and it's going to be one that defensive coordinators are not going to want to play. Will Ole Miss win a bunch of games? Probably not, especially this year. But they're going to be a tough out. And on the flip side, Kyle Trask in Florida, how long has it been since we've been able to say Florida had a very good-looking offense, right? Kyle Trask played very, very well.
He looked great. He looked great.
Yeah, they moved the ball up and down the field all day. But then, of course, Florida's normally stout defense gave up a ton of yards to Ole Miss, which I think I'm inclined to say that was just they were facing Ole Miss for the first time in a totally new offense. So a very entertaining game in the noon window.
Yeah, it's a nice segue here, Mike. I'll just say this. In a couple years, the over-under in the Egg Bowl may eclipse, like, what, 140?
100 points, yeah. you're going to have a couple 58-54 Egg Bowls.
Speaking of which, possibly the stunner of the day if the K-State wasn't, Mississippi State 44, number 6 LSU 34. Welcome to the SEC, Mike Leach. And I guarantee you defensive coordinators across the SEC spent their Sunday looking at MSU tape because his offense tore LSU to pieces.
KJ Costello threw for, what, 600 and something yards passing?
632 yards, I think.
That's unbelievable. Now, a couple things about this game. I think we kind of forgot that because of what Joe Burrow and that offense did and how solid the whole and how kind of magical their whole season was last year, they did not have a great defense, right, LSU? They gave up a ton of passing yards in that Texas game. They gave up a lot of yards all season last year, and they've lost. I mean, you can't really blame LSU. They became the first national champ to lose its opener the next year since Michigan in 98. I love that Michigan was the last team to do that, by the way.
Yeah.
This is such a – they lost, what, 14 or 17 players off that team last year. And I think they had the most players drafted from one school since the draft started only being 7 rounds. So it's going to be – it's not the same LSU team, but still, did anyone in their right mind see Mississippi State coming in to Death Valley and doing that? I know I certainly didn't.
And Leach seemed so blasé about it afterwards. It was like, all right, you know. Yeah. I will say, too, that I heard the next day. So, again, it's look, the guy, his offense works wherever he goes. It just does, okay? Defense has always been the issue for him. I'm sure it's going to remain the issue for him at Mississippi State. But he's going to put up a ton of points. I will say, too, Tom Luganville, who I like a lot as an analyst, the next day was like, yeah, give Leach credit for masterful performance in calling that game. He's like, but I'm sorry, like, if you're LSU, why are you remaining in man coverage the whole game when you're getting roasted? And they never changed it up. They never changed it up.
Yeah, no adjustments. I heard that on some of the things I've been listening to this week, too.
Number 8, Auburn, 29. Number 23, Kentucky, 13. Not much to say here. I was kind of rooting for Kentucky. Again, I want them to have the year I think they can have. This is a bit of a setback. Auburn looks decent, and to your point, too, I mean, Georgia better up their game this week.
Yeah, I didn't see much of this game. I was just clicking around to it here and there. But in what I heard, Bo Nix looked pretty good, and a lot of people are saying expecting Bo Nix to take a big step forward in his second year with Gus Malzahn.
How about Texas 63, Texas Tech 56? sorry, I'm not buying Texas, and I'm not buying Texas because they still are so soft. Like, they're so soft.
Insane, insane game. Again, I didn't see it, but I read about it. They were, Texas Tech was up 15 points with less than 4 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. And Texas came all the way back. They recovered an onside kick that the game, they would have lost if Texas Tech had simply recovered the onside kick. And then can you imagine what the mood would have been around that state if Texas Tech, which almost lost to Houston Baptist the week before, had beaten Texas. Boy, that would have been, there would have been some fun times on the Longhorn Network. But Texas gets by. Yeah, I kind of agree. It's not a performance that instills a lot of confidence in you if you're a Texas fan, is it?
No, speaking of which, now, this, I'm trying to think if there's something that would be lower. I think this may have officially been Florida State hitting rock bottom. Number 12, oh, yeah. Miami 52, Florida State 10, and Florida State could not have looked any worse. They're a bad football team.
They're beyond bad.
They don't play well together. There's no leadership. You can tell, you know, when teams go bad, the kids stop caring. They don't give a shit. And we're like 2 weeks into the season and they stop caring. I mean, it's a bad, bad look at Florida State.
That's a great observation there, Timmy, because I watched the first half of this game and Miami scored, I believe, touchdowns on their first five possessions. I think it was 35-3 and Miami had the ball five times. Florida State had clearly quit. And look, they don't have their coach. They've got a new coach. They had turmoil in the offseason. They are at rock bottom, but they have got to stick by Mike Norvell and give him 4 years to turn it around. They can't become one of these programs that thinks they're better than they are and continually change coaches. That Miami offense with De'Aaron King looks great. But consider this too, Tim. Florida State lost to Georgia Tech the week before.
Yeah.
Tech team that just went and got thumped by Syracuse, who everyone thinks is one of the worst teams in the ACC. Florida State could easily be one of the worst teams in the ACC. They are god awful. And it got Miami, what, a top 10 ranking. We'll get to that in the rankings, but Miami certainly looked good, but it's weird to say, even though this was a rivalry game, that you can't really judge Miami on a performance against Florida State. They're that bad now.
They are that bad. Number 13, UCF 51, East Carolina 28. Not much to say there except that, again, UCF looks really solid to me. Mike, anything to add to UCF?
No.
Number 14, Cincinnati 24. Number 22, Army 10. Well done to the Bearcats. Fickell's doing a nice job.
Yeah, I watched this game was on the BTV for a while, and it was just what – just what you would imagine this game. Every time you kind of glanced over to that BTV, you saw somebody running for a few yards, and you saw a kind of overcast situation in Cincinnati, yeah, weather-wise.
Number 15, Oklahoma State 27, West Virginia 13. Here for one reason. This was my lock of the week, Mike, and the Mountaineers let me down very badly. So I'm sorry, Cousin Dave. I'm never relying on them again.
Yeah, big mistake, Tim. Never take the Mounties.
Tennessee 31, South Carolina 27, just here because, hey, it's a solid win for Tennessee and a much-needed win for a program that seems to be finally headed in the right direction.
This was a game where this was a very important game, maybe not in the national picture and maybe not even the SEC picture, but for each of these programs, because now you're feeling terrible about your overall direction if you're South Carolina, right? But you're feeling very confident if you're Tennessee. They're two kind of middle-of-the-tier SEC East schools, and it's a nice win for the Vols.
Our beloved Louisiana 20, Georgia Southern 18. I didn't see it, but I just love Louisiana. And finally, number
two. This was an unbelievably spectacular ending to that game.
Go ahead.
That I watched live. Georgia State came back, scored a touchdown to make it 17-16, boldly and honorably went for two to take the win, even though there was about 50 seconds left. The quarterback rolled all around, completed a very, very well done two-point conversion to go up 18-17. But Louisiana got the ball back, drove down the field, and their kid hit a 54-yard field goal at the buzzer to win it for Louisiana, keeping them undefeated, I believe, right, Tim?
Yep.
And they seem to have kind of a dream season going there down in the Bayou. So that was a really, really exciting last couple minutes of that game.
And finally, number 21, Pitt 23, number 24, Louisville 20. Pitt looking decent.
Yep, didn't see a second of that one.
I don't think anyone did, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Was it even televised?
Quick news item. Larry Scott course, commissioner of the Pac-12, had formally proposed this week, apparently, to the CFP committee, the idea of making this year's playoff, for a lot of different reasons, an eight-team field, which I heard a lot of chatter about, and I think there was a lot of merit to it, given like it's going to be harder than ever this year to identify the four teams. So I admire him for putting the proposal forward. Of course, it was shot down. Like, they're not going to do that. What are your thoughts on the idea of, even just for this year, going to eight?
Well, you said that he put this proposal forward for a lot of different reasons, but there's really only one reason. He desperately, desperately needs and wants one of his schools to get into the playoffs somehow. And it's probably not going to happen this year because they don't have a highly ranked team and they're playing even fewer games in the Big Ten. So that's the reason he wanted to do it. That being said, I am all for this season only, expanding the playoff to eight teams, because this is an insane season, right?
Yeah.
Nothing about this season is normal. You look at what baseball has done with their expanding their playoffs to 16 teams. This has been a blast, this first week of baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
Eight games each day, kind of an NCAA March Madness feel to it. There are two baseball teams that made the playoffs with sub 500 records. Ordinarily, I would hate that, but now I don't care about it for this season only. I was reading Stewie Mandel, who said that the main reason that the college football, the powers that be, said no to expanding it for this season only is they don't think they could keep it to this season only. They think that once that kind of cat is out of the bag, that there's really no going back to four teams. So if that's the situation, I'd like to keep it at four. But I think it would be fun for this season only to expand it to eight. But if you did that, I'd really demand that you'd have a group of five team in there as well.
Yeah. And finally, the small thing. The first rankings will come out now, Mike, on November 24th, which seems like an awful long way away, doesn't it?
It does, considering that we're recording this on a Thursday, October the 1st. But at least college football is here.
That's like Thanksgiving time, Mike. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I would think they would do it a little bit earlier.
All right, top 25. Let's do this, Mike. We'll do the AP again. All right, a few selected, others receiving votes. Poor Army drops down to others receiving votes with three votes. We got Washington with four votes, Minnesota 110, Iowa 16, Utah 14, Arkansas State with 11, and Vatek right in the cusp with 195 votes, which leads us to, with 196 votes, Memphis at number 25, Pitt number 24, Michigan debuts in the poll at number 23, BYU 22 and Tennessee 21.
Michigan at 23. Wow, that's very, very low. Not that I'm saying I think they're going to be good, but I just enjoy seeing a ranking that starts with two next to Michigan. Funny that so many schools that have not played games at all received like 3 to 5 votes. Those are definitely from writers in their cities.
Number 20, LSU. Number 19, Wisconsin. Number 18, Oklahoma, who fell 15 spots. Number 17, Oklahoma State. Again, like, it happens all the time. Like, why do the teams in the same state end up back-to-back? 18, Oklahoma. 17, Oklahoma State. 16, Mississippi State.
That is a startling long drop for Oklahoma.
Deserved, I'm sorry. I mean, they look terrible.
I agree. I mean, they did have a 21-point lead. And by the way, that leads to a great stat that I heard from Mark Packer.
Yeah.
Since 2004, teams that were down by 21 or more on the road to a top five team, which was a situation on Saturday, there were 1 and 545 before they took that win. So credit to Mark Packer for that stat. I enjoyed that one.
That's a great stat. 15, Cincinnati, 14, Oregon, 13, A&M, 12, North Carolina, 11, UCF.
What number is Cincinnati, did you say?
15.
I think they should be ranked a little higher than 15. They look good to me. They look like just a quality team. They look like the type of team that if you're a Power 5 team, you don't under any circumstances want to play them.
Right. What Fickell's done, like, there's nothing like fancy about, it's not gimmicky. He's
right,
like
exactly.
He's like an Ohio dude who went to Ohio State. He's building like he's trying to build a team in Ohio State's image, which just like, you know, good solid offense, tough defense, good special teams. He's like Tressel Jr., Mike. That's what he's trying to do here.
Yeah. And it's not the type of situation where people can say, oh, but if he went to a Power 5 school, his approach is not going to work. And right. He will. He's got – if I was looking for a Power 5 coach, he'd be the top guy I'd go after right now.
All right, top 10, 10 Penn State, 9 Texas. That's funny. 8 Miami, 7 Auburn, 6 Ohio State.
Huh. Penn State at number 10. Do you think they're appropriately ranked?
I mean, so – they – word did come this week that Parsons is definitely not coming back. So that's a blow, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
At running back, we're loaded. Like, loaded. There's some kids who are going to have – who like, you know, Journey Brown was great last year. There's a couple young kids who are due for a massive breakout year. I think Clifford's going to be a really solid quarterback. The defense, even without Parsons, is pretty solid. I think 10's about right for Penn State, to be honest.
Okay.
Top 5. 5, Notre Dame, Mike. In the top 5, 4 Georgia, 3 Florida, 2 Bama, 1 Clemson. As far as first place votes, Clemson had 55, Bama 3, and Ohio State 4.
I think hard to believe that Georgia didn't lose a couple spots after the way they played against
Arkansas. But I think that's symptomatic of people like looking at the score, not the game, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because that game was ugly.
All right, games of the week, Mike. Okay, slate, not as good as last week's, I don't think, but here we go. South Carolina at number 3, Florida noon, ESPN. Look, Carolina desperately needs a win, but Florida looks pretty solid.
They do. The Gators are 18-point favorites, which strikes me as maybe a tad bit high, but Carolina is going to come in desperate.
Yeah, they really are. TCU at number 9, Texas noon, Fox. Mike, what's the line here? Do you happen to know?
I do. The Longhorns are favored by 11.5.
That seems not right to me, Mike. What do you think?
It's a tough game. These Big 12 games are very hard for me to handicap, as anyone who listened to the show last week knows. You just don't know. Very inconsistent and a lot of scoring, and they can score late too. So, you know, Texas could easily, you know, kind of pull away even midway through the fourth quarter of what had been a close game. So I'm staying away from that one.
I will say, in terms of TCU, so unfortunately, so when I took Jack down with my sister to see the Cotton Bowl last year, we stayed in Fort Worth.
Great little city.
I was going to say, it's a nice little city. I was really impressed with it. Absolutely. I didn't get a chance to go see campus. But yeah, high marks for Fort Worth, Mike.
Yeah, Fort Worth is tremendous. A lot of good restaurants and bars. Love their little stockades area. Very nice people. Like the size of the city. It's mm-hmm. got character. We stayed there when we went on our baseball trip to Texas, and then we just drove into Dallas for a day, and I had been to Dallas before, and it's really kind of the opposite of everything about Fort Worth.
Number 13, A&M at number 2, Bama, 3:30 CBS. Obviously, Bama's first real test of the year. I'll be honest with you, I don't know enough about A&M to, like, have any idea what they're going to bring into this game. But hey, we'll see, I guess, Mike.
They struggled mightily against Vanderbilt last week. They beat Vandy at home 17-12, I believe, was the score. And there was much grumbling in the land of Aggie fans about that game. Bama looks like a superpower. They look motivated. They are a superpower, but they look even more superpowerish. And they seem pretty motivated right after not reaching their Bama standards last year. So they're an 18-point favorite at home against Texas A&M, who is not quarterbacked by Johnny Manziel. So I'd lean Tide in this one for sure.
Is there a program and a fan base that puts more into their program and then is never going
to get out of it?
Yes, and never. I just can't foresee the day when A&M can win the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they signed Jimbo. Jimbo did it at Florida State. I mean, you can say what you want about Jimbo, but he is a national championship title winning coach. But you've got to stick with him. You cannot get impatient if you're Texas A&M for many, many reasons. But you got to maybe just wait till Saban retires.
You've been to a game at College Station, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I went to the Texas A&M Clemson game, and wow, is that was that 18 or 19? It seems like a lifetime ago. Absolutely awesome experience.
But you were not blown away by College Station itself, I recall.
Correct. Yeah, the town itself, you know, I don't want to go insulting places, but I'd been to many what I consider to be nicer college towns. But the game day experience itself, the amount of passion of the fans, the stadium, the 12th man, how nice the fans were to us, and again, touched by the fact that we were down there for their game. It was all that was great.
Number 17, Oklahoma State at Kansas, 3:30 ESPN. I put it here because, again, I was not impressed with Oklahoma State so far this year. Kansas, of course, is terrible, Mike. But could you foresee a really ugly affair here?
I can, but I can't see a way that Kansas is going to win. The Cowboys are favored by 21.5 on the road. I think that I could see this could be like a get-well game for Oklahoma State's offense that has not broken out yet this year.
Would you rather be a fan of Kansas the rest of your life or Rutgers?
Oh, excellent question. Definitely Kansas.
I'm talking football. You can't include basketball as part of the equation.
Oh, okay, but still Kansas. Lawrence, Kansas is a beautiful little college town. It's an awesome college town. Now, in all honesty, though, in all fairness, I have not been to Piscataway, New Jersey.
Nor have I, actually. I've seen the stadium from the train up to New York. The stadium looks really nice, I must say. But I've not heard great things about the town itself. Yeah, it is New Jersey, after all. Where are we at here? I lost my spot. Number 25, Memphis at SMU, 3:30 on ESPN. Just here because I like Memphis and SMU. Again, the Memphis fans were like some of the nicest people I ever met last year at that bowl game. So,
oh, that's cool. This is going to be a very, very high scoring affair, right? Of course, Memphis is favored by 2.5 on the road. The over/under 74. I'd still take the over. Entertaining game at 3:30.
This should be fun too. Ole Miss at Kentucky, 4 p.m. SEC Network. I'm really curious about this one, Mike.
Wildcats 6-point favorites. I would definitely lean Ole Miss in this one.
Navy at Air Force. How good is this, Mike? Navy at Air Force, 6 p.m. CBS Sports Network. It will definitely be featured on my television at 6 o'clock. I'm just happy to see these teams playing.
What a situation, too, with the first game of the year for Air Force, first of two games that they're playing only Army and Navy. Navy comes in at 1-1. At least they got an off week after their thrilling win over Tulane a couple weeks ago. Navy favored by 7. Very interesting. It says here that the lines open Navy by 1 and went all the way up to Navy by 7. So maybe someone knows some things that we don't know about. The fact that this is Air Force's first game, who knows how that's going to impact them, right? What if they look like Navy did in their first game? Right. But what if they saw Navy's first game and said, wow, we got to start hitting. We got to start practicing like as if we're playing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, outstanding game. I will definitely have this on one of my TVs, no doubt about it. Right before the Preakness, Tim, is on Saturday. Did you know that?
I had absolutely no idea, Mike.
Most people don't. Once there was no chance of a Triple Crown, and of course the dates got all moved for all the Triple Crown races. But, yes, the Preakness is on Saturday, so I will be drinking Black Eyed Susans and betting on the race.
So – I've had the benefit, if you can call it that, Mike, of having gone to Pimlico, not for the Preakness, just to go. And I'm sure you've been there countless times. I'm sure you've been to the Preakness.
I have.
For people who may not know, who may have a certain notion of what the Preakness or Pimlico is, can you explain what it is?
Well, the Pimlico is the course where the Preakness is run. It is in a neighborhood in Baltimore that has seen better times.
Mm-hmm.
Those neighborhood, and by better times, I mean the 40s and 30s, probably. The whole facility is completely falling down, like literally falling down. They can't even, there's not enough power to like flush the toilet or anything. But there is a plan to revitalize Pimlico and renovate it, and the race will stay there by all accounts, which is very important to Baltimore. But on the one day a year, in May, normally, and in October this year, of course, 100,000 plus people go there. It's a wild party. It's a great time, and it's a tradition and a jewel in the Maryland sports calendar. And I love it. I'm a big Preakness fan.
Number 7, Auburn at number 4, Georgia, 7:30 p.m. ESPN. Chloe, the game of the day.
Yep.
I'm a heavy lean for Auburn here, Mike.
Really interesting. Georgia favored by 6.5. I would kind of agree with you. I would take those points if I was a gambling man, and I just might be on this game. This will be the game of the week, no doubt about it.
Finally, number 18, Oklahoma at Iowa State. Of course, Jack Trice Stadium, like 7:30 p.m. ABC. Look, this is, we always say it half in jest, but it's also true. you don't just walk into Jack Trice Stadium like Oklahoma, where they're at mentally heading into this one. This is a dangerous game for them.
Absolutely. Again, just like I was saying with Air Force, you have absolutely no idea how Oklahoma is going to respond to that loss, especially in this situation. And Iowa State, sneaky good, right at home. They always play the best teams. They always play their best against the best teams, it seems to me. So, yeah, this will be a great game to have on the BTV at 7:30. And, Tim, you've left one game off the agenda. The number one team in the land, the Clemson Tigers.
No, no, that was next on the agenda. See right there?
Oh, I thought you said this was last.
No, no, no. Okay. Virginia at number one, Clemson, 8 p.m. on the ACC Network. Clemson wins by, what, 75 or something?
Probably. They're favored by 28. I can't take another 28-point favorite because of what I just did last week against Oklahoma. And I also cannot watch this game because in my three TV setup, obtaining and broadcasting the ACC Network is not one of the options.
Really?
Yes. You can't even get it on Comcast. And I can't even get it through the Watch ESPN app because Comcast has blocked that. So there, I have absolutely no way of seeing this game at home. I guess I could probably go out to watch it, but I won't be doing that.
So, Mike, as listeners know, neither one of us would be called technologically advanced, right? Like all right. This, it's gotten way too hard to just watch television now. Did you have to buy the stupid Peacock app to watch the Premier League? Do you realize that they're putting almost all the games on that streaming service now?
No, I didn't have to buy it because do you still have cable? I have Comcast cable, which one of the advantages of it, people love to hate on Comcast, but it's not hard to find games and it's not hard to negotiate Comcast. But so I do have Peacock through Comcast, and I know you have to watch a lot of Arsenal on that, but no. But the thing is, if the ACC network is not carried by Comcast, which is not, there's almost no workaround.
It's crazy. It's a crazy world, Mike. Anyway.
What is your cable? Do you have cable?
It's Comcast, but the package we have does not include access to Peacock. So I had to spend the $5 a month for Peacock on top of the $5 a month for ESPN Plus on top of the – I got one other one. I forget what I have. CBS All Access, and it's like...
Well, that's because the Champions League is on CBS All Access now.
Right.
It does seem like the future is all these streaming things snapping up these properties and forcing you to subscribe to like 100 different things, doesn't it? And that is quite annoying.
Yeah, it is. All right, Mike, so locks of the week. So now I'm officially 0-2, I know. You are what?
I am 1-2.
All right, Bobby, get the bumper.
Place bets on college football.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't gamble. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
The Mike Unger 50-50 possible lot, probably loser of the week.
Please hang up and try again.
This week's lock of the week, we are going up to Boston, Massachusetts, home of the BC Eagles. They have the 11th-ranked North Carolina Tar Heels coming in. BC looked pretty good so far, 2-0 in their first two games. North Carolina's only won one. They're getting a lot of hype ranked at number 11, but this is kind of a weird road trip, right, for North Carolina to go up to Boston College. Hopefully it's bad weather. It's at least going to be a little chilly. And having done no research and for almost no reason, I'm taking Boston College. They're getting 2 touchdowns at home, plus 14 for BC at home against North Carolina.
So I'm desperate for a win, obviously, Mike. Yeah. I am tempted to take Auburn, but I'm so desperate, I'm going to cop out here and rely on the number one team in the nation, the Clemson Tigers, to cover. You said 28?
Yes. So for the second straight time, one of us is given 4 touchdowns. Interesting. So Clemson, I think I'm confident in that pick.
I am too, Mike. All right, your plans for this weekend?
I have a couple friends coming over visiting from Indiana. So we are going to, on Saturday, just hang around the house. My basement will be ready to go with 3 TVs. I'm going to be smoking a pork butt.
Ah, nice.
Black-eyed Susans for the Preakness, and we're going to watch a crazy amount of college football all day. It's going to be great. I can't wait. And by the way, the weather forecast for Baltimore, sunny with a high 66 on Saturday. You can't get better October weather than that.
That's pretty perfect, yeah. So, again, I got my usual sports stuff going on, but there'll be plenty of time for college football. And, again, knock on wood, the Springfield Spartans play tomorrow night. So, go Spartans, Mike. Well.
Go Spartans.
It's been fun, as always, Mike. Listeners, hope you guys have a great, great weekend. Enjoy this wonderful weather. Enjoy all the football. And, Mike, there's one thing to say.
Go Spartans or no, put Pachas.
Thank you for listening to the TCFA podcast. For more college football news and wit, visit intelligentcollegefootball.com.